place in every life here that calls on the name of Jesus, who's confessed you as Lord, has confessed you as Savior, who has received this life that you truly are making all things new. And Lord, you never stop that. Father, whether we came to Christ as an 8-year-old and we're in our 60s, 70s, 80s, you've never stopped making all things new. You never stop. You never, ever stop, Lord. And I want to ask in Jesus' name that we would get caught up into the things of God and the things of the kingdom, Lord, and not the things of this world. Because, Father, we can be controlled by so many things. We can be controlled by the past hurts and the past struggles and the past things done to us. We can be controlled by the past failures of our lives and the sin habits that we walked in. We can be controlled even now by the lure of the enemy and the lure of the world. But Lord, we want to be a people controlled by your love. Controlled by love, compelled, constrained by the love of God. And so Lord, I want to ask in Jesus' name that your Spirit would come and illumine us today. That you'd open our eyes to see things and to hear things, Lord. Perhaps things that we've heard before, things that we've seen before, but we need a new fresh perspective on it. Or perhaps there's some people here today that would hear some things that are brand new to them. We ask, Lord, that you'd cause your word to not return void, but accomplish everything that you desire to do in every life here today. Father, I ask in Jesus' name for attentive hearts. I pray, Father, for opened eyes, open ears, open hands, Lord, to receive, to see, to hear, to grab hold of the things that you have for us. Lord, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the Spirit of the living God that lives within us and that rests upon us, that's released within us. And we thank you for the power that you bring, Lord, to give glory and declaration of your greatness so that we might be people, that we might be marriages, that we might be families, that we might be the church, this local church in this area that simply points to this great, great God of ours. We praise you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think we're on this last message of this series on what controls you and that how we are to be a people that are controlled by the love of Christ and nothing else in this life. Controlled by the love of God. And we've been on this journey through this jumping off point in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 where Paul is speaking. Actually, he's about to speak about if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, things are come new. And one of the great things, I think, one of the great statements that he can make about his life and about his ministry and about what God has done in his life is this, verse 14, "For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that they who live may no longer live for themselves." They may no longer live a self-directed life, but for him, a Jesus-directed, a God-directed life who died and rose again on their behalf. He makes this statement in this passage of Scripture that says, that speaks to me of the power of God, the power of love, and the absolute total potential and the opportunities that we have to respond to life, whether it's past, present, or future, to respond to these things in love. Nothing else but the love of God. And we've been talking about love out of the 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, and we've just kind of, just for simplicity, that we're saying that this great love that we're to walk in is patient, kind, it's unprovoked, and it never keeps a record. This is the love that controls us. This is the love of God. We've also, early in this series, has talked about that the Bible says that God is love. So when we talk about being controlled by the love of God, we're really simply being controlled by the awesome Father God in heaven. Controlled by God himself. Compelled is what the word is. Constrained in every area of life. And we spoke that first week about how a lot of times people walk through life hurt, damaged with great sorrows and great grief, and how often people go through the rest of their life being controlled about what happened to them by somebody else in this life, controlled by that. Or we talked about the second section of this series about the sinful habits that we walked in, or the failures that we walked in, and the damage we've done to other people, and how that can control us from here till the day we die. But Paul says, listen, wherever I've been, whatever I've done, whatever anybody's ever done to me. I mean, you remember that, right? I mean, he was beaten times without number, beaten with rods, beaten with whips, thrown in prison, chased after, oftentimes in cold and exposure. I mean, people actually pursuing him. He would say, that doesn't control me. The love of God controls me. To be patient, kind, to be unprovoked, and to never keep a record when I'm wrong. And so that's what controlled him, so that he can move through ministry glorifying God. Because actually, it's what Jesus did. It's what how God lived, and it's how Jesus comes to live in your life. Or Paul could have said, well, I mean, you know, all the awful things that I've ever done. The chief sinner, remember that? The one who caused the deaths of Christians, who blasphemed the name of God, the chief sinner, the chief blasphemer of God. And he's not going to be controlled by that past. And you know how the enemy comes? The enemy will come and he'll speak about those failures that God dealt with and you dealt with years ago. But he'll come and he'll whisper them in your ears. Or he'll whisper in your ear about the church or that person in authority over, or your mom or your dad, or that person over there. Remember what he did to you. Remember what she said to you. And all of a sudden we're controlled not by love, but by some other word that was spoken over us. Or some failure that we've walked in. And I just want to tell you, folks, I believe with all my heart that it ought not be to be controlled about what anybody says to you or does to you or done to you, but to be controlled by God Himself. To be led by the Spirit. Hey, are you tracking with me? Huh? Is that right? To be controlled by the love of Christ. In every area, in every form, in every fashion. And you know, we dealt with past stuff. We talked about a little bit about present stuff. But what about future stuff? I mean, we have this tendency to think about the future and be controlled by what may or may not happen in the future. And we spend all this time thinking about the future and walking in worry and walking in fear. And listen, when I talk about the future, I'm talking about 10 minutes from now, 5 minutes from now, till 20 years from now. But I can't believe, just walking through ministry and walking through life, and me being guilty of this, how often we're controlled by the things of the future that have never happened. They've never happened. And we fear stuff and we worry about stuff that often never happens. It never happens. And you know, I think about this fear. Fear is that distressing emotion that's prompted by the threat of loss. Loss of life, loss of health, loss of possessions, loss of anything. So fear is. It is the threat of what? It's a response, emotional response to the threat of loss. When I think about worry, I think about it as just a state of anxiety and uncertainty over very real problems or potential problems. Means to be troubled and anxious. Fear, worry, stress, anxiety, all centered on what might or what might not happen in your future. And we're good at it, aren't we? Aren't we good at it? We're good at worrying. We're good at walking in fear. We're good at being controlled by that. I mean, you think about what we worry. We worry about war. We worry about stock market crashes. We worry about our retirement being gone when we're there. We worry about our marriages crumbling. We worry about losing our kids or our spouses. We worry about the tests we're going to take. We worry about the raise we might not get. We worry about that person who may confront us. We worry about what to wear, how to look. We worry about what others think and we were, listen, I can go on and on and on. All the things that control you and me in this life. Is that true? Is that true? Yes, it's true. But it ought not be.
It ought not be, because I'm going to tell you, when you're controlled by love, by patience and kindness and being unprovoked and never keeping a record, when you're rejoicing in all things and you're hoping in all things and you're walking in the love of God, guess what Bible says? Bible says, hey, perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all worry. I mean, that's a powerful passage of Scripture, 1 John 4:18. It's toward the end of your notes, but I think about it because, listen, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not being perfected in love. That's what it says originally. No fear in love. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out the fear. Well, how does perfect love cast out your fear? How does the perfect love of God, being controlled by love, cast it out? And I think what I think it is I think that you have to come to grips and the belief that our great God is a great and awesome, loving and caring God, and He's awesome to you, He's loving to you, and He cares for you. Because when I'm walking in fear, and I'm walking in worry, and I'm walking in anxiety, and I'm being controlled by the future things that have not yet happened, I want to tell you, I'm not walking in the love of God. I'm not walking in the faith of the God that loves me, the God that's in control, the God that does all things good, the God that we just sang to. God, You're so good to me. You're so good to me. Now, let me just ask this question. This is kind of my last statement of the sermon, but I want to say it right now. Let me ask you, when you're in Christ, is there anything to fear after you die? You believe that? So if there's nothing to fear about in eternity, there's nothing to fear temporally. Because eternity started the day in your life when you gave your life to Jesus. You believed what He did 2,000 years ago on that cross, and you trusted Him, and you began following this great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you have nothing to fear because you believe in the Word of God about how powerful it is and the wonderful promises of God, and you don't fear eternity, if we don't fear eternity, we don't have anything to fear today. Now, yeah, there's concern. And yeah, there's things going around us that I'm not saying don't be concerned about things. I'm saying do not be controlled by those things. But could be controlled by the love of Christ, because God is a God of love who loves you and cares for you. And when you look at Scripture that speaks to these kinds of things, you're going to see the whole thought of do I believe that God cares for me? Now, I just want to stop here and ask the question, have you ever gone through a season where you felt and you confessed, God's far off, He must not love me, He must not care for me? Have you ever thought that? Thank you for your honesty. Anybody else? Okay. The rest of you lying? All right? We've all done it. I've done it. I've done it recently. And I would tell you, you can face the common stuff of this life that would usually bring fear and worry and anxiety that controls you to face the things of this life with this great confidence in the great God who cares for you, who loves you. And we see this in Matthew chapter 6. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture to those of us who've been trained in Scripture, those of us who've been walking with Christ a long time. It's a very, very positive, powerful passage of Scripture that I want to read to you. And then I want to tell you, a lot of times our common fears and our common and worries are a lot of times just about basic stuff. Isn't it? Especially in America. Especially in America. I mean, we're most of us in this place who are here today are most of us. Now, some of us might, and some of us might be watching, and there are people like this, but a lot of you, you're not facing the electricity be turned off or the rent not being paid. Some of us have been there, but most of us in this place aren't. And most of us can go. We got enough money in our pocket and credit on our debit card to go out to eat. And then we can go and shop at Bales a little bit and buy some clothes. But it just blows me away how much I can get so wrapped up in my day and wrapped up in stuff and worrying and fearing about these very basic things that God has always been faithful to provide. Amen? But I'm going to tell you, God, Jesus still addresses it. And I tell you, there's people around the world, they don't know where their next meal's coming. And they're believers in Christ, and I'm going to keep going, I got something for you. And they're spirit-led, spirit-filled Christians around the world who don't know where their next meal is coming from. They're not some Christian that's doing something bad or doing something wrong and making wrong choices. No, they're making right choices. And they don't even know if the authorities will come into their church on a Sunday morning and take them away and ultimately kill them. And yet we can worry and fret about so many basic things. And then when we think about it, it's all basic because it's all temporal. It is all temporal. And you know, I think what Jesus says in this passage of Scripture can go a long way in understanding that our great God, He cares for us. And I think that's pretty much the cure for anxiety and fretting and fearing, is that we have this awesome faith that believes our God's in control, and the God who's in control loves us, and He never ever forsakes us, and He never ever leaves us, and He never ever ceases to sustain us. So Jesus says it, verse 25, "For this reason I say to you, don't be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you'll drink, nor to your for your body as to what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Let me ask you something. How many of you worried about what you were going to put on this morning? And how you looked in the mirror? And you actually walked in worry over it? And I would say to me, shame on Mike Fritcher. You worried about that? You were anxious about that? I mean, you're coming to worship with the people of God and you're worried about what you're going to wear? And you're fretting over it? Listen, don't worry about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? I want you to look at the birds of the air, that they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than birds? God has such great value on you and me that it's greater than birds. And I can look at birds and I can see exactly what Jesus said about them. And it's absolutely true. It's absolutely certain that if the Heavenly Father cares about a bird, you can bet, I don't want to say what I said last week, you can bet your, well, whatever. I can't do another Fritcherism. You can bet your bottom dollar. How's that one? That's a good one. That God cares for you. And every time I walk in worry, and every time I walk in fear, there's just this statement coming out of my life that questions the love and the care of God. And I'm telling you that I can be the most guilty in this place. Not so much about what I wear or so what I put on or what I eat, but the span of my life or the health of my life or just how's God going to make how is He going to fulfill the needs this time? When God has always been faithful. Always been faithful. And I love how Jesus says it. Hey, quit worrying. Stop it. See, that sounds simple. That's the red letter word of Jesus. Hey, stop this thing. Don't worry. Quit being worried about your life. Verse 27, who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, they don't spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. And if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry then, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? The Gentiles, the world, eagerly seeks all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But listen, if you'll seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, you won't have to ever worry about all these other things. Because my God says, they will be added unto you. Yes and amen. What are you worried about? What are you worried about today? What are you fretting over? What are you fearful of? What are the things that come into your mind that could put a pit in your stomach? What are the things that come your way that you have a propensity to worry about? Because my Bible says, verse 34, listen, I think it's in your Bible too. If it's not, you need to get a new Bible. So do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Listen, each day has enough trouble of its own. Listen, He's not saying there's not going to be trouble. He's not going to say that there's sometimes going to be want. He's not saying that there's sometimes going to be those circumstances in your life that are hard, that are difficult, those things that seem that I'm lacking. My God says, don't worry about it. I got it. I got it covered. Let me ask you, do you believe this about your God? Have you lived like you believe this about your God? I want to live this. I believe this. I believe it with all my heart. But when I'm in the moment of the circumstance, and when I'm in the moment of the uncertainty, when I'm in the moment that just in the moment that would bring a stress and a worry and an anxiety, my great God says, listen, I got a plan. Number one, I care for you. I care for birds and I care for flowers. I take care of birds and I clothe flowers. If I care for birds and flowers, how much more do I care for you? This is what He says. Oh, you of little faith. When I'm worried and I'm walking in anxiety, I'm a man of little faith. We're men and women of little faith. And sometimes I think that God is just, bear with me, because I know He's sovereign. I know He's everything. He knows everything. So He's never caught surprised. But I just think sometimes God in my own mind says, you worried about that? You worried about that? You're fearful about that? You're giving time to this? You're getting ulcers over this? Is this worth getting ulcers over? You're nauseous because of this? I think over and over and over again, we have this promise of God, who He is, that He loves us and that He cares for us. And if He loves us and He cares for us, there is nothing to worry and there's nothing to walk in anxiety about. There's nothing to be controlling us but the absolute love and the care of God. And so what I want to say right now is that if you identify what you've been fretting over and the things that you've been fearing, maybe you can do something like this. Lord, would you forgive me for walking in this fret? Would you forgive me for walking in this anxiety? Lord, in the name of Jesus, by an act of your will and by the power of the Spirit of God, I'm no longer going to walk in that, because I believe that you're a loving and caring God and you've always been faithful. Your promises have always been yes and amen. And you've always provided. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just come and empower me so I don't spend another minute, actually another second, another minute, another hour, another day, another week, another month, another year, another decade, worrying about the same stuff over and over and over and over. When I look back and I see how you've been faithful over and over and over, amen. All His promises, folks, are yes and amen. These are promises of God coming from Him. And I just want to ask God that you would birth within me a faith to believe that you're this loving, kind, caring God, and that I'm your son and you're my father. Remember, we talk about that a whole lot in this series, that He birthed us. We're born again and we're children of God and we've got the same seed abiding in us. I just want to be a man that when storms are coming and I'm in the middle of the storm, then I'm as relaxed as Jesus is. You remember that story in the boat? It's Mark chapter 4, 35. Why don't you turn there? Because that's a real threat. The storm's a real threat. I've known storms. I've walked through storms. We've evacuated during storms. If you're new to us, I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana. Born there, left there at 17. And in 65, Hurricane Betsy came through. And we were evacuated because they were afraid that what happened at Katrina was going to happen to Betsy. So civil defense comes knocking on the door. You got to get out. You got to go find higher ground. Now, everybody knows that in New Orleans, there is no higher ground. Okay. Except in buildings. Okay. And Monkey Hill. Oh, y'all don't know about Monkey Hill. That's at Audubon Park. It's where we grew up going to the highest place in New Orleans, and it's man-made. And I just tell you that as a 5-year-old, remembering that night so vividly, and getting in the car and trying to go to places of shelter and not finding room, and getting out and power lines falling and glasses popping, and it's a pretty terrifying thing. It just is. You know, I know my parents were probably scared. My parents were probably, you know, a little fearful, worried. But you know, they never showed it. They didn't panic. They just scooped us up in their arms and got us to the place that we needed to be. And we finally found shelter on the third floor of an apartment building on River Road, New Orleans, Louisiana. And with glasses still popping out all night long, I fell asleep in the cradle of my daddy's arm. And then we get up the next morning and we go home and there's damage on the house. And I just start crying. And my mom says, "Mikey," don't call me Mikey. "Mikey, it's going to be okay." And some of us need to hear that. You need to hear today that this great God causes all things to work together for those who love God and those who are called according to purpose. That means it's going to be okay. It may not end the way you think it ought to end, and it may have some grief to it, but I want to tell you, in the end, it's all going to be okay. That's the promise of God. Do you believe that today? So if you believe that today about the future, let's believe it about today. And not be controlled, because we have a God who loves us, who says, it's going to be okay with me. It's okay. It always turns out. And you say, "Well, what if I die? What if there's no cure?" Well, guess what? You breathe your last, and then you breathe your in this earth, and then you breathe your first in the presence of God, and you don't care about anything that happened in the past. I just think that we need to be a people that are living life that's so great, so wonderful. And I'm not talking about the flesh stuff, about money and success and all the things that the world says. Please hear, I'm not saying that. But I think that we ought to be living in such a way that when we cross over into heaven, it's not that much different, because we've been experiencing the love of God all our days. That's what I believe. Sometimes we face real threats. Sometimes we're in the middle of storms. And you know, I love this passage of scripture, because I really feel like Jesus is teaching us how to respond to the storms. And if you go to Mark chapter 4, and just look at the story with me real quick. Yeah, 35. "On that day, when evening came, he said to them, 'Let's go over to the other side.'" Okay, I want to tell you this right now. If Jesus said, "Let's go over to the other side," do you think you're going to get over to the other side? If Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side"? Huh? Huh? Come on. Yeah. Let's go to the other side. I think they forgot that Jesus already said, "Let's go to the other side." In my mind, go to the other side means you're going to make it to the other side no matter what's going on. Okay? Do you know that God says that when we've started following Jesus, we're following him to the other side? So we're doing. Following him to the other side. And I know in between times we get disappointed, just like we talked last week. And if you weren't here last week, please, please listen to the last week's message on the fear spectrum, where we become impatient and we become we become impatient and unkind, and then we become offended, and then we get angry, and then we walk in unforgiveness, and then we got thoughts of hate, and then we have thoughts of murder. I think there's a fear spectrum. And we get disappointed because it didn't turn out the way we thought it ought to turn out. And before long, instead of praising God and worshiping God, we challenge His love and His care for us. And we move off to other places that are other than God. And I tell you, when you look at this passage here in Mark, they're going to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took along with them in the boat. Took him along with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And there rose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so that much of the boat was already filling up. And Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, now watch. Do you not care that we are perishing?" Let me ask you a question. In the grand scheme of the story, were they perishing? Look at me. No, they were not. They were assuming something in the future that God had no intention of happening, because he had already said, "Let's go to the other side." And I would tell you, this is how fear goes with us. We get into the storm, and it may not be a physical storm like this, but it's a storm of a bad diagnosis, or a storm of marriage infidelity, or a storm of where somebody stole from you. Storm. Threat. And then you may be in a boat, or you may be evacuating in the middle of a storm. And I just want to tell you, when we face real threats, we have this absolute total opportunity to first turn to God, seek first the kingdom of God, and to believe with all our heart that He loves us and He cares for us. And then I can say like Job, "Though you slay me, I will still trust you." "I will trust you, O God, in the midst of this sickness, in the midst of this heartache, even when I really believe you've spoken to me and that I'm going to come through it, and yet I'm doubting it, and it's not happening, and then maybe I do bury a daughter, or I do bury a son, or I do bury a daddy, or a mama, or someone that's very close to me." But I want to tell you this, listen to me. God has never, ever stopped loving and caring for you. And the last thing He wants you to do is walk in fear and worry. I want to have the attitude of Jesus. The attitude of Jesus is He's asleep on the boat. Why? Because He knows it's all going to be okay. Because ultimately for the believer, it's always going to be okay. And I love what he says. They accuse Him in no uncertain terms. They accuse Him of no uncertain terms that he's not caring. "You don't care that we're dying. We're perishing." And He got up, He rebuked the wind, He said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And He said to him, "Why are you afraid? How is it that you have no faith?" And then they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who is this then that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" Do you believe that Jesus is in your boat? Jesus is in your boat. Do you believe He's taking you to the other side? So guess what? I want to be like Jesus so that when the storm comes and it churns and it's up, I just have this trust in God that I just sit down and say, "Let's just wait this out." We'll pray. We'll ask God to do work. We'll ask God to calm the storm. We'll do those kinds of things. But the bottom line is, we will
trust. This is not about Jesus calming the storm. This is about you and me going through the storm with this great faith in the loving and caring God. Amen. Because storms will never, ever cease to come. They just won't. It's a part of a fallen world that we're a part of. But I want to tell you, the greatest faith in me and in you is to move through it unhindered with unbelief. Unhindered with faith, I'm sorry, and not hindered by unbelief. Now, I want to just say this. How do we fight this fear? Okay? How do we fight it? First of all, we believe, like we've been talking about, in this wonderful, loving God that cares for us. And if God cares for us, He cares for us right now, right here, whenever right now, right here is. Okay? No matter what's happening. So I've got this faith that's going. I believe in this. And I'm going to seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. I'm going to seek the eternal, not the temporal. I think there's a whole lot of things going on, a whole lot of messages going on that deal with the carton, and it becomes carton theology instead of spiritual theology. Because I want to tell you, this life is just a blank. Right, Wayne? It's just a blank. Right? It's just a blank. Blank. And we have all eternity, to walk in this great fellowship with our great God. I want to be able to say His presence is enough. The presence of God is enough. Your presence right here in my life is enough to bring calm, to bring peace, to see fear removed, to see the threat of loss, or just thinking I'm going to lose, gone from my mind and my heart. Do you know in God's economy that really losing is really gaining? Amen? You can't gain your life unless you lose it. And that's a promise. That's a great promise. But so I want to seek God first. I want to seek Him with all that I am. I want to walk in agreement with Him. I want to see that this fear is removed from my life and that I choose not to walk in agreement with it. And I'm going to just tell you this. As someone who's walked in fears and worries, it never ever fails when I just say, in the name of Jesus, I will not walk in agreement with you. There's just something about it. It's not magical. It's just something about God speaking my language in my heart. I will not walk in agreement. And then all of a sudden the fear goes away. And I said, why didn't I do that last week? Huh? Seek first the kingdom of God. Line yourself up with this thought that, listen, my future, this future is I don't know what this future is, but I'm going to trust my great God with it. There's one other thing that I want to do. To fight fear. And I want you to stand, and I want the praise team to come up, okay? Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for as many are the promises of God, in Him they are yes. Therefore, also through Him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Listen, when I'm in the middle of whatever I'm in the middle of, I want to remember how faithful God is and all the promises that God has promised me in this life and next. And that the promises of God are yes and amen. They're yes and amen. And so what I want to do is you've heard me, if you're new to us, you've never heard this from me, but if you're old to us, you've heard this. But this is my blessing, our blessing, God's blessing on you today, okay? And then I want us to sing this song together and believe it with all our heart, because I tell you, let's fight fear, worry, and anxiety with the promises of God. And I want to tell you, again, if I have no fear in eternity, there's nothing I have to fear temporally. Because He's the same here as He's the same there, right? So our great God has come and promises to save you, deliver you, justify you, and glorify you. Our great God promises to prepare a place for you, to send the Holy Spirit to you, to empower you to be witnesses to the ends of the earth and home, every place in between. He comes and promises He'll teach you about everything that you're going through.
He promises by the very name of Jesus and Emmanuel that he is with you to deliver you. That's the promise of Jesus. It's the promise of Emmanuel. He will always show you the way to go. He'll always gird you with strength, and he'll always give you good gifts. He's forgiven you and he remembers your sins no more. Those are the promises of God. Yes and amen. He's promised to wash you with the word, sanctify you in the truth, and give you forever peace. He's come to equip you, empower you, welcome you, love you, adopt you. He said he'd never leave you or forsake you, that he'll never seek to sustain you. He's come to complete you, to give you good reason to be joyful, to be happy. He's come to bless you, to take away your sins. He's come to crush the head of the enemy, remove your guilt and shame. He's come to raise you up on the last day. He's come to purify you. These are the promises of God. He won't give anything that he won't give anything to you that you can't handle, but he'll always give you a way of escape. He'll set you free, give you victory over sin. He'll provide every need. He'll protect you from the evil one. Listen, he'll make you an overcomer of the enemy. He's promised to give you confidence in the day of trouble, to comfort you, to counsel you, to heal you, to open our eyes, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to save your household. The Bible says, I'll always be with you. He's promised to call you as his child, to establish you, to anoint you, to confirm you, to perform his work until the day of Christ Jesus. He's promised to keep you from falling. He's promised to be your God, to feed you his flock, to renew your strength, honor your obedience. He promised to let you find him, to answer your prayers, to give to you sufficient grace, to give everything needed to live a godly life, to rebuke the devourer, to fill you with the Spirit, and to come into your life and live with you forever. Forever. All the promises of God are yes and amen. And I want to sing that right now as a closing. Now I'm just going to pray that Lord bless you with these words today, to bless you with the promises of God in Christ Jesus, because they're yes and amen, this great God who's faithful. Let's sing this together and then you're dismissed.
I would grace. You brought me.